Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I am so glad to have you with us today. Let's pray, and let's get into the Word of God. Here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, which enables us to spiritually discern the spiritual truth that you have written in your spiritual Word. And Father, I pray that he would illuminate our hearts today and make the Bible clear and let it resonate and just resound in our hearts, Lord. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Let's ask the Lord to do that and to burn in our heart, to make the channel open. Lord, forgive me of my sins and burn in my heart as I teach the word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Okay. Now, what are we going to study today? Tell me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. We're going to apply it to our life, right? And we've got a magnificent passage of scripture today that happened right during the triumphal entry of the Lord as he rode down the Palm Sunday road, as I showed you earlier. So let's pick up in Luke's gospel, chapter 19, verse 41. And when he had come near, he saw the city and wept over it. Now, remember, when you come over the top of the Mount of Olives from the east to the west, as you crest the Mount of Olives, you've seen this now on video, you see Jerusalem right there in front of you. The magnificent temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, right there in front of you, glistening in the sun. You know, you just, it's a majestic sight. And this Jesus comes over the top, starts down the west side of the Mount of Olives, down the Palm Sunday road. And here's what he sees, what I just described. And yet, instead of being excited, shrieking out hallelujah, instead of having a huge smile on his face or being impressed with what he was seeing, because it is breathtaking, the Bible says he wept. He wept. And what did he say? Look, verse 42, saying, if you had known, even you, Jerusalem, especially in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Jesus is brokenhearted over Jerusalem. And let me read you this from another translation from the New American Standard. The very same verses, but a slightly different translation, so that you get the hang of it from another translation. Look at this. Verse 42, Jesus said, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Jesus said, if you guys, you want peace, you're looking for peace in your heart, you know, what makes peace in your heart is me. If you'd only known in this day, as I'm entering the city in glory, that I would be the one to bring you peace. Come unto me, Matthew 11, all you who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you peace. I'll give you peace for your soul. If you'd only known that the way to get peace was through me, but you don't, you didn't. No, instead you run around with all your schemes and all your conniving and plotting to kill me and all your worrying about who's on top and who's climbing the ladder over the other person, who's got the most money, who's got the most notoriety, all these things. But real peace doesn't come from all that. It comes from me. Folks, if you don't know Christ, let me just say, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And you can own the whole world and not have peace. You know, I was watching the other day Citizen Kane, And many of you know the story. It's considered one of the greatest movies, maybe the greatest ever made. And at the very end, after Citizen Kane had had it all, living in Xanadu, his magnificent cathedral palace, and all he wanted was to go back to when he was a little boy, where he had peace. Rosebud, the name of his sled. You remember the story. Folks, you can have it all, Xanadu and all, but you won't find peace until you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your heart and forgiving your sins and making you his child. That's where real peace comes from. And this is what Jesus knew about the people in Jerusalem. And he was brokenhearted that they would not come to him. Let's go on. Verse 43, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you, that is the city of Jerusalem, and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. What was the time of their visitation? It was right now when the Lord was presenting himself to them as the King of Israel. But because they rejected that, Jesus said, as a punishment, the Romans in 70 AD are going to come, and they did everything Jesus said. They surrounded the city. They tore down everything in the city, including the temple. They killed, according to Josephus, 1 million Jewish people. They took 90,000 slaves away from Jerusalem. And according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, there were so many people trying to escape the city that when the Romans who surrounded it caught them, they crucified them, and eventually they ran out of wood, according to Josephus, and they had no more wood to make crosses with. So they instead of nailing them to a cross, they nailed them to the city wall of Jerusalem, these live people. Horrible. Jesus could see this in his foreknowledge as the second person of the Godhead. He saw this coming, this awful judgment on Jerusalem for having rejected their Messiah. And he was absolutely brokenhearted about it. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage. And let me just say, right where I was standing, taking some film at this church, Dominus Flavit, meaning in Latin, the Lord wept. This is the traditional site partway down the Mount of Olives that Jesus stopped and wept over the city. Our group stopped there and had a devotional very similar to what I'm sharing with you. It's heartbreaking to stand there and look over Jerusalem and think, the Lord weeping over this city. Now, that leads us to our most important question. And you know our most important question. And what is it? Are you ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. And as we always say, come on now, come on. How sweet it is. It's sweet to be in Israel, and it's sweet to be here teaching you the word of God. Now, there's another passage which plays into this passage, and it's found in Matthew's gospel, where he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So what are we saying here? What we're saying here, my friends, is that the Lord Jesus would have been willing to take all of these people in Jerusalem, and he would have been willing to save them all. and he would have been willing for his blood to cover them all, and he would have been willing to take them all to heaven. But you know what? They were not willing on their side to let this happen, and it broke his heart. My friends, Jesus only wept two times, according to the New Testament. Only wept two times. Once at the grave of Lazarus, when he was overcome by the pain of the human condition. Death was never intended to be a part of God's original creation. Read the book of Genesis, chapter 3. It only entered in because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and then death passed on all men and women. But this was not the original plan. And well, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he saw all the people weeping, and he understood the pain and the agony and the grief that comes with human death, which was only the result of sin, it broke his heart. And this is the only other time he wept here as he looks over the city. And what broke his heart this time was not the reality and the pain of death in the human condition. No, what broke his heart this time was the blindness of men and women to the gospel, to him as the Messiah, the blindness of men and women to how they could have real peace in their life. These things were hidden from your sight. And who hid them from their sight? Well, that's an interesting question. There's an answer in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through onto them. That's right. Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving so that they can't see and understand the gospel. This is why you can share the gospel with someone that you love, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, a friend, your children, your grandchildren, whoever, and they don't get it. And it's to you, it's as clear as the nose on your face, but they don't get it. Why? Because of the ministry of Satan and his evil demons to unbelieving people in this world that blinds their minds and their hearts to the gospel. And your mind was blinded, and so was mine, except somebody prayed for us and the Holy Spirit lifted that blindness so we could see the glory of the gospel of Christ. That's right. Now, what's the lesson in all this? Friends, the lesson of all of this is about the heart of God. The God weeping, Jesus weeping over the city. They were trying to kill him. He knew that. As soon as they got the chance, they were going to kill him, which is going to happen in 7 days from now. And yet he still loved them so much that their lost condition didn't just bother him. Folks, it broke his heart. Because God loves the world. He loves people. He loves every person. He loves not just you and me who are his children in Christ, but he loves every lost person who is blinded to the gospel. So much so that he weeps over their souls, the lost estate of man. This is what broke his heart. You know, I think if Jesus were here in Washington, D.C., where would he go? I don't know that he would go to the biggest churches in town on a Sunday. Maybe he would. But I think a lot of days he would go down to DuPont Circle and he would sit there on the benches and he would weep over the blindness of all the people walking through and around that circle. A hub of people who are following a gay lifestyle, a hub of people who are not against Roe v. Wade, but support abortion, a hub of people who are trying to find all their meaning in life through money and fame and fortune and possessions and stuff, and who are totally blind to the gospel. Totally blind. And he would weep as he sat there. I think Jesus would go down to American University and George Washington University and Catholic University, and he would sit there on campus and he would weep over all these young people being led astray by all these fancy talking professors, leading them down the primrose path to hell, and taking advantage of their youth and their naivete. And yet he is sitting there, the answer to every need and problem they would ever have, but they won't, they would make fun of him. They would mock him. And he would weep over them. He would go to football games and weep over people there who are so caught up in their love for sports, they have no love for God. And he would go to the dead churches in Washington, spiritually dead churches, and he would weep over the spiritually dead pastors preaching spiritually dead messages to people who are spiritually dead because their leader is spiritually dead. I remember George Whitefield said that it's no wonder there are so many spiritually dead people because they got spiritually dead preachers preaching to them. This is why he wasn't invited to speak in churches very much. But it's true. All over this town, there are churches where spiritually dead men and women are preaching and sadly leading people who think they're doing great because they're going to church, leading them right straight to hell. Jesus would go to seminaries in this town, teaching and raising up pastors and Christian leaders, but teaching them false doctrine and not teaching them about the blood sacrifice of Christ. In fact, making fun of the blood sacrifice of Christ in these seminaries and making fun of the gospel. And I could keep going, but you got the point. Jesus would come here and weep, and he'd go to every other city in America and weep. Why? Over the lost estate of men and women, over the blindness of men and women, and the fact that that blindness, if not broken, was going to lead these people straight to hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, friends, if Jesus weeps over the people of this town and every town like that, should we not have a greater concern for lost people? Should we not ask God to give us a greater zeal and passion to speak to lost people? Should our heart not break over the lost people that we know who are so blind? Folks, remember I said last week, there are three marks of a genuine follower of Christ, a genuine child of God: a zeal for personal holiness, a zeal to serve Christ with their life, and a zeal for lost people. A zeal to be concerned about lost people. You know, when my dad and mom and brother, when they first found out I was a Christian, they were so blind. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I had a woman, a wonderful godly woman, one time at church when I was talking about this. She said, well, honey, she was old enough she could call me honey. I was 22, 23, 24. She said, the only way you break through that blindness is prayer. The Holy Spirit has to break that blindness so they can see. And the only way the Holy Spirit breaks that blindness is in response to prayer. Prayer is what is like the little microscope, the little magnifying glass that you could take the sun, the ray of the sun, and you could focus it with great power on something, burn a hole right through paper. Yeah. And I started praying for my mom and my dad and my brother in a way I'd never prayed for them before, praying for God, the Holy Spirit, to remove that blindness and smash that blindness so they could see the glory of the gospel. And folks, that's the only way you're going to break through it in the people that you love. It's by being a prayer warrior for them. Praise the Lord. My mom, my dad, my brother all came to Christ. Just because you pray for them may not mean they all come to Christ. I prayed for my grandparents. I don't think they did. But that's God's call. Our call is to be prayer warriors for them. May this change your prayer life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, right now I pray that you would help each one of us think of some people that we know and love who are blind and lost, no matter how much we've tried to talk to them. And my friend, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to try to bring some people up on the screen. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray for all of these people that you can see in our hearts or on the screen. Dear Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be mighty in his power and break the blindness that is on them. Smash it like a piece of glass, Lord, and allow the glory of the gospel of Christ to shine through and allow them to understand their need for Christ and let them come to you and be saved, dear Jesus. And Father, change our prayer life so it's not just, you know, something real quick and simple like, Lord, bless my mom and bless my dad and help them come to know you. No, it's deep in prayer. It's serious in prayer. It's brokenhearted in prayer, like Jesus was brokenhearted over the city of Jerusalem, where we weep and we say, Jesus, before it's too late, Lord Jesus, I beg you to have the Holy Spirit convict of them of sin and righteousness and judgment and break that blindness that the God of this world has put on them. Jesus, please, I beg you. Lord Jesus, make us prayer warriors with a zeal in our prayer life for lost people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.